All right, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jude tonight. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11 in this book tonight. Jude verses 8 through 11. All right, I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. It says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Here we find some further description here of these false teachers. All right, we're reminded back in verse number 4, remind you that these people were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, as we think about these false teachers, maybe we'll almost jump ahead in the message a little bit. You might say, so what's the importance about knowing about these kind of people? All right, I mean, if these are false teachers, the characteristics of these people are, you know, unsaved people. All right, so what does it have to do with me? Well, I think there is a warning, even in verse number 12, that's given, and ultimately the warning is to separate from these individuals because of the great danger that they could pose to those in the church. All right, so there's a warning. And it also, as you think of the book of Jude, you think of verse number 3, which it says that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. All right, as you learn about the nature of these false teachers, it ought to motivate us to stand for truth in a society in which truth is becoming downgraded. And so as we look at these verses tonight, I hope it'll be an encouragement for you to stand for truth. I hope it'll be an encouragement for you to separate from that which would influence you to go in a wrong direction. But I also hope that it will give you discernment in your own life to recognize characteristics and qualities that should have no place in the life of a Christian. In verse number 8, we see characteristic here of these false teachers. It says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh." So it says likewise there, connects them with the character of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them were a very fleshly city. And you think, you know, how did Sodom and Gomorrah get to that point? Well, last week we looked at the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. It talked about pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, how they didn't treat properly the poor and the needy around them. And we see in our society, you know, we see, boy, pride all over the place. We see fullness of bread. People have so much. Abundance of idleness. You know, there's plenty of time for entertainment in our society. We can see how those types of things can lead to this type of fleshly behavior. You know, when the flesh is fed, it doesn't get satisfied. It only craves more. And that's what took place in Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, likewise also these filthy dreamers. But that the idea there of dreamers. Right? That's something that takes place in the mind. Right? And fleshly living really is, many times, is a result of allowing our mind to get off track. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 warns us about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. We are warned, we are told in Philippians chapter 4, we're given a filter for our mind. You know, list a number of things. You know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, we ought to have, we have filters for internet. Well, do you have a filter for your mind? What do you allow your mind to dwell upon? And D. Edmund Hebert, in his commentary, said they substituted the unreal world of their fancies for the real world of divine truth and righteousness. They substituted the unreal world of their fancies for the real world of divine truth and righteousness. Dreaming that they were free and independent, they yielded to their imaginations and daringly ignored the warnings of the past that God would judge such conduct. These filthy dreamers, it says, they defile the flesh. And if you go, let's turn over quickly to Romans chapter 1. Notice what it says here, Romans chapter 1, I'll begin in verse number 20. I mean, these are familiar verses to us, but they're so important in the day and age in which we live to keep at the forefront of our thinking. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but what? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." But verse 21 there, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Boy, how important it is for us to keep a right conception of who God is in our minds. You know, young person, you can grow up in Mequonago Baptist Church. You can grow up in a good church. But if you stop thinking correctly about who God is, you can so quickly get off the track. You know, after talking to a young, maybe not so much a young man anymore on Saturday, who had gotten involved in, you know, somebody, you know, attended this church at one time and got involved in Hinduism, Buddhism, and, you know, he got a wrong understanding of who God was. And in his mind, he couldn't justify the God of heaven and who God is, because he didn't understand properly who God was. He didn't understand who he was in relation to who God was. Then it says, neither were thankful. Boy, how important it is to us to keep a thankful heart. It can keep us from so much wrong. But these people here, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. You look here in Romans chapter 1. You know what takes place? Verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the what? The lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. And it starts where? It starts with our minds. You know, we allow ourselves to begin to allow our minds to go in a place that God does not want them to go in. You know, we don't know where the end is. You know, if we think from the other opposite end, from a positive end, you know, what does the Bible say we are to be thinking on? You know, Psalm number 1, Joshua 1 and verse 8, reads Psalm 119. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be meditating on Scripture. The Word of God is what is to be filling our minds. You know, I know myself, it's so easy to get caught up, and maybe it's not necessarily a wrong thing we're thinking about, but it can be so easy to get caught up thinking about things that really are trivial. But when we can draw our minds into thinking upon the truths of God's Word, how it can impact us to live for something that is worthwhile in life. And so it says, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. Now, if we contrast that with the saved, well, how does the book of Jude describe those that are saved here? It says, in the brother of James, to them that are what? That are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Think of that sanctification. Someone who's holy, someone who's set apart for God's use. But here, these people, their flesh is defiled. All right, they're not in a place where they can worship God. They've been defiled. And you think of the priest. They couldn't what? They couldn't worship God. Defiled. And so their flesh is defiled. Their moral framework of their lives has been defiled. In the, you know, Titus chapter 1, it talks about how, you know, their conscience has been defiled. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Then notice what goes along with that fleshly living, with the defilement of their flesh. They despise dominion. All right, those that are in authority over them, they despise. They have a life that is focused on their way. And so anyone that would hinder them from that way, they would look down upon, they would scorn, they would revile, they would despise. They despise dominion. Then it says they speak evil of dignities. These type of people are not afraid to speak out against those that should be held in a high position. Those that should be treated with great respect, they're not afraid to speak evil about. It's interesting, there's an illustration about a man who came up to General Lee after the war was over. And they were both on the faculty of, this is when Lee was president of Washington College in Virginia. And on one occasion, one of his fellow instructors, also a Southerner, began to speak poorly of Grant to Lee, assuming he'd receive a sympathetic audience, referring to Ulysses S. Grant. Lee turned, looked the man straight in the eye, and said, "Sir, if you ever again presume to speak disrespectfully of General Grant in my presence, either you or I will sever his connection with this university." You know, what a here's a man in authority, but yet he was not going to allow this man to speak evil of someone else who was in authority. Now, part of that could have been the kindness that was shown to Lee at the end of the war. So, you know, how do we relate with others? Do we sense the danger of speaking evil of dignities, of those that are in a place that ought to be shown respect? Do we show them that respect? You know, as parents, do we speak of those that are in places, positions that ought to have respect, that positions that would command respect? Are we careful in the way that we speak? Here it says that these people here that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, turning the grace of God into something, live as you want, do as you want, these type of people are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. You know, in this world of public comments, you know, the internet. Leave a review about this place. Leave a review about that place. You know, our comments can be strewn across the world. You know, we need to remember this. These type of people are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And may that not be something that characterizes our conversation, but may we be warned. You know, do you hang around these type of people that are not afraid to speak evil of those that are in a position that ought to command respect? And then we have a contrasting illustration here in verse number 9. It says, yet Michael the archangel went contending with the devil. Now you think of the devil, all right? You know, the slanderer. This term here for the devil, the slanderer. Do you think Michael could have had anything bad to say about the devil? Do you think there's any accusations, any names he could have hurled at the devil? I think there's plenty. But yet, what does it say? He disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, instead of taking this matter into his own hands, what did he say? He said, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, sometimes even we can be tempted to hurl things out at somebody instead of allowing the Lord to take control of the situation, knowing that God has all power and he can deal in that situation as he sees fit. You know, people out there, some people want to make sure that, boy, they say everything maybe bad about a person or everything bad about a situation that needs to be said. Well, sometimes, you know, here, Michael the archangel, what did he say? He says, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, are we willing to do that in our own lives? And yet, are we also willing to watch out for those that are unwilling to do that? Verse number 10, it says, but these, now it's contrasting, it's coming back to those people, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. All right, Michael the archangel, he knew the devil. But these people here, he knew about him, he knew his character. But these are willing to speak evil of something they don't even know about. And it was interesting in the debate last night, I was just there for part of it, but Thomas made reference to scholars that do not want to believe in the supernatural, and because they don't want to believe in the supernatural, they make certain claims about the scripture because they don't believe in the supernatural. And so they're willing to speak evil of things that they really have no conception about. You think of evolutionists. They're willing to, you know, speak evil about creationists, even though they really don't understand the issue. I was reading an article in the, it was the Huffington Post. And you want to read something liberal, read something there. And anyways, they were talking about Christian schools. They're talking about choice schools. And anyways, they were, talking about a Becca curriculum and a Bob Jones curriculum. And I mean, they're just showing this is so absurd that these people would be teaching, you know, creation and just, you know, the absurdity of what they will do and how they're willing to speak evil of things they do not understand. You know, it's amazing how some people that have, you know, bring it down to a different level, people that don't have certain biblical standards are so easy to speak evil of someone else who holds that standard. And they don't really even understand it, but yet they'll speak evil about it. And so, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in these they corrupt themselves. And here we have, it's kind of interesting, I want to just read what a commentator stated on this. In their lives, spiritual things and values have no place, and therefore they regard all spiritual things with scorn and contempt. You know, they speak evil of those things which they know not. Then it says, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. My kind of summary here is the more we give ourselves to fleshly living, the more spiritually irrational our behavior becomes. The more we give ourselves to fleshly living, the more spiritually irrational our behavior becomes. It doesn't make sense. You know, but the opposite of that is the person, you know, that's living fleshly, somebody that's living spiritually makes no sense to them. And they what? They speak evil of it. And that's why it's so important that we stay close to God. You know, imagine if you were going out on soul winning and there's a big German shepherd sitting on someone's porch. You see signs that say, beware of the dog. All right, and it's got a big, you know, low growl, and it's got a big bone in its mouth. Maybe it's a big pit bull. And it's chewing intently on that bone. And there are signs all over that say, beware of the dog. And, you know, maybe they got a big chain link fence, you know, around their property. And you see, you know, oh, they don't have, you know, the locks undone and you can walk in there. And so you walk in there. And are you going to go up to that dog and pull the bone out of its mouth? No, you're not, are you? That would be crazy. All right, and as you think of that in this context, you know, it's like trying to spiritually reason with a fleshly individual. Or it's like taking away a privilege from a fleshly teenager. What do? They're on you. They don't like it. And it says here, what they know naturally as brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. You know, the flesh has such a strong pull upon the individual. And you know, it's you know, when we interact with fleshly people, you better be careful how you do it, because it might bite you. And it says, you know, these kind of people, they speak evil of those things which they know not. You know, sometimes maybe it's just better to walk away. Sometimes it might be better to not try to, you know, just like you wouldn't go up to a dog and try to pull the bone out of it. You know, there's going to be some reactions. But the people are going to what? They're going to corrupt themselves. In verse 11, it shows the sure judgment of these people. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And we're out of time, so I'll maybe look at this verse more in detail later. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. You know, you think of Cain, a self-centered person, a self-religious person going his own way. You think of Balaam, it says they ran greedily. They just kind of plunged headlong into the direction that they're going, seeking for what they can get out of it for themselves. And you think of Korah, one who was in a spiritual position, but yet he spoke out against Moses. You know, and the earth swallowed him up. And here, really, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor, is showing the sure judgment that's going to come upon these individuals. You know, some of Korah's children survived. You know, what does that mean? Well, they must have separated from their father when he was judged for his sin. You know, and our response ought to be one of not going along, but one of separating from these things that God is warning us about in the Scriptures. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would help us. Lord, in this day and age in which we live, of Lord, where the truth is looked down upon, Lord, where respect seems to be thrown under the rug, Lord, in which it's so easy to spew something out, Lord, that we would take this warning from your word. And Lord, that we would stay, keep our lives, Lord, in a position that would be pleasing to you. Lord, recognizing that ultimately you are the one in authority. And Lord, you've written these things, Lord, to protect your people. And Lord, we pray that we would heed the warnings of your word. And Lord, that even in our own homes, we would guard them from things that would lead, Lord, our own families away from you. Lord, so there might not be casualties in this place. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.